today on Path of Grace.
You are complete in Him. Paul doesn't tell us that we ought to be complete in Him or that we need to complete ourselves. Nope, he says you are complete in Him. Again, if something is complete, there is no way to make it more complete. If something is filled all the way up to fullness, there is nothing you can add to it, right? You can't add to the work and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me share with you two definitions of the word complete, which is a word used in many translations of this verse. Definition number one, having no deficiency. You have no deficiency in Him. Definition number two, perfect. You are perfect in Him. Saint, I am so happy that you are able to join me today as we continue to look at who you are in Christ and who I am in Christ and what it means for us. Now, over the past week or so, we've seen that in Christ, old things have passed away and all things have become new for you. Although we were born into death and sin as a result of what Adam did, in Christ, whose work is much greater than Adam, by the way, right now at this moment, you and I as believers have a brand new identity, and that identity is not sinner. It's not even sinner saved by grace. Now, that might be speaking truth that we were born into death and sin and we have been saved by grace. That is true, but that's not our identity. That is not who we are. Our identity isn't wrapped up in what we do or don't do or what we have accomplished or haven't accomplished. It's not wrapped up in our weaknesses, the low points in our life, or what many would call failures. Now, the sad thing is, a lot of people, a lot of religious people, including myself for most of my life, I found my identity in my weaknesses and my failures. It was miserable. However, on the other hand, the truth shared with us by the Apostle Paul, the one who Christ revealed mysteries to or secrets that were not fully revealed anywhere else, in the writings of this guy Paul, the apostle sent with the gospel to the Gentiles, he tells us that our identity is saints. That's who we are. We are saints. And in our last few studies, we've seen some mind-blowing truth about you as a saint. And it's truly good news. It's so good, it's kind of hard for us to believe. But when you believe it, oh my goodness, it changes everything. When you begin to grasp, understand, and truly believe and rest in the truths that we've been looking at, it will take you to a place of worship that is more true and genuine than anything you've ever experienced. It will cause you to exalt Christ in a way you haven't before. And it will take you to a place of humility unlike anything else. And it will stir up love within your heart for God and for other people and give you compassion in a way that religiosity never can. Now, we've seen that in Christ and through what He accomplished, again, you and I are saints. And Paul tells us that we are God's beloved, and that Christ has presented us to our Father in heaven as holy, blameless, and above reproach. We are absolutely perfectly righteous. We have been justified, and Paul makes it clear that it's all based upon what Christ has done for us, not based upon what we could ever try to do. And we saw yesterday in Romans chapter 5 that it's not based on our obedience, it's based upon the obedience of Christ. Paul told us in Romans chapter 5 that just as our state of being born into death and sin was due to the work of one guy named Adam in the Garden of Eden, our being declared righteous is based upon the work and the obedience of the one, Christ Jesus. That's why He's called the Savior, and you're not called the Savior, and why I'm not called the Savior. Christ is the Savior. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what He came to do. He is a Savior. We aren't. All right. Now, the great truth we're going to see today is that you and I are complete in Him. I'd like you to take a look at Colossians chapter 2. Today, once again, I'm going to be reading from Young's Literal Translation. I'm kind of on a Young's Literal kick at this point in time, so bear with me. You can read along from Young's Literal Translation on BibleGateway.com. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. Paul is sharing some personal thoughts with these folks about what he desires for them, and he says this, "For I wish you to know how great a conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, being united in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the full knowledge of the secret of the God and Father and of the Christ, in whom are all the treasures of the wisdom and the knowledge hid. And this I say, that no one may beguile you in enticing words, or in other words, so that no one would lead you off course. For even in the flesh I am absent, yet in the spirit I am with you, joyful and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in regard to Christ. As then ye did receive Christ Jesus the Lord, in him walk ye, being rooted and built up in him and confirmed in the faith as ye were taught, abounding in it in thanksgiving. See that no one shall be carrying you away as spoil through the philosophy and vain deceit, according to the deliverance of men, or the traditions of men, according to the rudiments of the world, or the thinking of the world, and not according to Christ. Because in him doth tabernacle, or dwell, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And check this out, verse 10, and ye are in him made full, who is the head of all principality and authority. You are made full in him. Now, Young's literal is not very easy reading, but I like it. Verse 10 tells us that we are full in him. We are complete. If something is full, if it is complete, there is nothing left to add to it. In him, we are full. In him, we are complete. In other words, there is nothing left for you to add to what Christ has already accomplished for you. Now, in another study, we're going to see some mind-blowing things regarding just how personally all Christ has done applies to you and me. But right now, just let this truth kind of permeate in your gray matter and work its way into your heart. You are complete in him. Paul doesn't tell us that we ought to be complete in him or that we need to complete ourselves. Nope, he says, you are complete in him. Again, if something is complete, there is no way to make it more complete. If something is filled all the way up to fullness, there is nothing you can add to it, right? You can't add to the work and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me share with you two definitions of the word complete, which is a word used in many translations of this verse. Definition number one, having no deficiency. You have no deficiency in him. Definition number two, perfect. You are perfect in him. Now, this Greek word translated as complete or full, according to Strong's, means this: to make full, to fill to the top so that nothing is lacking, to fill to the brim. Now, I know I'm being redundant, but let me ask you again. If something is complete, it has no deficiency, if it's filled to the brim, if it's perfect, what can be added to it? The answer, nothing. Now, let me ask you another question, my saintly friend. Since the reality is you are complete in him, what can you add to you to make you more complete in him? The answer, nothing. Now, here's the deal. Living right now in these mortal and corruptible flesh bodies, that's the way Paul the Apostle describes them. One day they're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. We're going to put on immortality and incorruption. But right now we're still wearing these mortal corruptible bodies. And when we look at ourselves, we don't see the reality that Paul is talking about, which is why it's about belief. It's about faith. It's about holding on to and resting in this truth. Now, you may say, James, I kind of believe, but man, when I look at myself, I really don't see at all these words Paul is describing about me. Well, let me tell you, if I were to spend a month with you, 24 hours a day, looking at everything you do, listening to every word you say, and even greater than that, if I was somehow able to know every thought you have, I'd probably say, you're right. I wouldn't use those words to describe you either. But you know what? If you were to spend a week with me, 24 hours a day, knowing every thought I have, hearing every word, seeing everything I do, you would say, James, I don't think I'd use those words to describe you either. That's why, my friend, it's about faith. Faith comes by hearing. And today you are hearing what Paul tells us is true about you, regardless of what you see. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, let me ask you something about sight. Does an acorn, a little oak seed, look like an oak tree? Well, not in the least bit, right? But is that oak seed, is that acorn complete? Yeah, it's complete. There's nothing to be added to it. It's as perfect and complete as it can be. It is just as complete and full as a massive tree, even though they look different. Now, the difference between them is growth and time. And that little acorn isn't going to grow into an oak by stressing and straining and struggling and grunting and groaning. And once it becomes a tree, it's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to produce more acorns through stressing and struggling and grunting and groaning and making, you know, veins pop out of its little tree forehead. Nope. It's just going to be. It just is. It's just rooted and it grows. Take a peek back at verse 7, Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Being rooted and built up in Him. My friend, these teachings we're into right now, it's all about being rooted in Him and being built up in Him. It's to help me and you not try to build ourselves up in ourselves through seven steps to the best you ever. No, it's about being rooted in and built up in Him. And as we believe the truth we've been looking at, and as we rest in it, like that oak seed resting in the soil and becoming rooted and slowly growing over decades and decades, right? As we are rooted in Him, built up in Him, built up in the truth of who we are in Him, and because of Him, maturity will begin to take place, time will pass, and the big picture is this, age we're living in, we'll move into another age. And Scripture tells us that eventually the end of the ages will come, and we will eventually see the perfection and the completeness of one another. But along the road that we're on right now, on this journey, like an oak seed, we've got to understand and believe that we are already complete. What we see will one day change, but in the meantime, it's not about us struggling and straining and grunting and groaning. It's about believing and abiding and being rooted in Him and built up in Him. My friend, I encourage you, to the best that you can, take your eyes off of you and keep them on Him. Spend some time meditating on the truths we've looked at over the past week or so and be built up in Him and believe that you are complete in Him. I'm James Flanders, and I kind of remind myself of a teeny tiny little oak seed. In so many ways, I don't resemble an oak tree at all. You know what I'm talking about? But the truth is, I am complete in Him, and I am so thankful. And I'm thankful that you've spent this time with me today. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.